classic phrase. I shall feel this master's praise.
Wilson be done.
Wilson be done with troubles and trials.
Oh, what
peace endures so fine in that home of the divine.
Jesus is mine.
Lord his way. On the cross he sealed my pardon, made the dead and made me free.
And the last one,
I will sing of my Redeemer and his heavenly love to me.
Making my heart and in sorrow forever. I hope you brought your Bible today. I'd love for you to read with us. In the book of Matthew, chapter number 12. Book of Matthew, chapter number 12. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 12. I want to read very familiar scripture, but I want to read verses 43 through 45. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself 7 other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. May we pray. Thank you, Father, for the privilege, God, that we can gather and read from your word. God, I thank you for the songs that's been sung. I thank you, God, for our presence, God, that we're able to come together. But God, how we need you today. God, how we stand in need of, God, our heart to be dwelt with. God, we know that only answers come from above. God, I wish I had the wisdom of this world, but I really don't. What I want is the wisdom, God, you provide. God, I thank you for salvation and what it means to me. And God, I thank you for a life that's changed. Without Christ in my heart, I would not be where I am today. And God, without that love, God, I wouldn't have the heart, God, that God you give us today. But God, without salvation, I'd be lost and on my way to hell. Thank you for that. Lead us now and have your way. In Jesus' name, amen. A few places I've been in, around and visited from time to time. Sometimes I've had the privilege to go around some of the worst places that you could have ever seen in your life. You say, what does that mean? You ever been around to the state prison in Alabama? It's not a place you want to go in and visit. There's federal prisons that even house worse people. And those people didn't intend to be born in this world to spend their life behind bars, as we call it, but some have. Some have made choices that their life is full of sin. We read in the scriptures about the maniac of Gadara that he was so wicked and so vile that he couldn't live amongst people, that he lived among the tombs of the graveyard. He wore no clothes, and he had many possession of what we call devils. The Bible describes them as legion, for we are many. Now, I don't know about you, but I can say that whenever you see somebody wicked and wicked as they are, that may be in some of the state prisons that we have, that in our prison systems for committing things like murder, that'd be a tough one, wouldn't it? But there's all kinds of crimes that people commit. And sometimes a level keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper so that sin just seems to take over. We have more of our alcoholics in this world than you've ever seen. We have more people that are hooked on drugs than you've ever seen, and they keep getting deeper and deeper and deeper. A few years ago, I don't know when it was, but they began to start to legalize things like marijuana. They call it medical marijuana. That was the excuse. But what's happened is drugs don't start out simple, then ends there. It goes simple to more and to more and to more. It's kind of like drinking. It goes to more and to more and to more. And what happens is our world begins to get involved and full. And the next thing you know, we're seeking for something that we can't find an answer to. This particular scripture says this man wanted something, we would call it a change. A change. And he the terminology's used, he went out. But he was wanting a change, but he went out. But when he couldn't find really what he wanted to find, he came back to his own house. And when he came back to his own house, he didn't come back any for the better. He came back for the worse. And whenever you try to do better, it seems like the harder you try, sometimes it just seems like it's almost impossible to get better, you get worse. Fact, took on himself more wicked spirits than he had at the beginning. And I wish I could say that this would have worked out better. And I wish I could say, oh, it all was fine at the end. But Christ actually said that this would continue on even now unto this generation. I wish I could say our country is a lot better off, but we're really not. I wish I could say our church attendance around the globe is higher. We're seeing more folks turn to the Lord. I wish I could paint a bright picture and say, friend, we're just moving up closer to God every way we turn. But I hate to say this, but it seems like there's a lot more wicked people in this world today. I hate to turn on the news, don't you? I look to see what almost what tragedy's happening today or what's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. I wish I could say it a little bit different, but I can't. In fact, what we see when people try to do better, it doesn't work. I want to read something and you don't have to turn. You know it well. One time, God would have used people of the church to attack sin at one time. At one time, we would have folks lining up to preach on the street corners. That's unheard of. At one time, we would have had people carrying Bibles to be able to do what the Gideons do and keep giving out Bibles. It would have been seemed like it would have been folks on every side say, here, just take this Bible. I don't need it. I got plenty of them. Or going out to the mission field. Do you know it's harder to find missionaries today than probably it's ever been? And in fact, we're not talking about, oh, we're going to the deep, dark side of Africa, or we're going to where nobody lives. Friend, there's modern cities all around this world. We're talking about missionaries today that's probably got it made better than they've ever had it in life and be able to go to a foreign country and to witness. But friend, there's a lot of folks that just don't want to go and witness. Remember when it used to be on a Thursday night, a lot of folks would go knocking on doors, invite somebody to come to church. Hard to find somebody to knock on door, isn't it? And what's happened is, do we care for the lost? Do we really care for the lost? Do we care for their soul? And I would like to say that a lot of times Christians get in a mess of their own. The book of Jonah was a prime example of an individual that God told him to do one thing and he did the opposite. The book of Jonah describes a Christian, and if I can say it there, a Christian man following what God said. God said, I want you to go and I want you to preach for me. And men, I got a place for you and I got thousands of folks over there that need to hear the message that I will give you. And friend, if you don't think God would have blessed Jonah for, man, going, but what did he do? We all know the story about Jonah. Jonah did not follow the direction that God wanted him to go. It's kind of like the old prison. It may be full of prisoners today, but you just don't have anybody knocking on the door saying, can you let me in to share the message of the Lord? Or can you let me knock on my neighbor's door that don't go to church? I don't want to share the message of the Lord. Here's what we expect in life. The Bible says that when Jonah got on the boat, the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship to the sea to lighten them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. What happened was Jonah got in the boat and a storm came up. Now here's the Christian man. The Christian man that had walked away from the message of the Lord and walked away from the direction of God and walked away from everything that God intended, and he decided that he was going to go away from God. In fact, he probably thought asleep in the belly of the boat, he probably thought that God would not be there. But I've never known of a place that God's not. And I've never known a place where God can't find you and speak to you and tell you. I'd like to say for a Christian man, for a person that has been born again, I'd like to be able to say to that person, don't ever get to the spot where you're running from God. I'd like to say that. But so many people go down that path. The storm came up. The storm was so bad that those, the mariners, they call them, those people that were on board that ship, they knew everything that they'd been in about storms. Okay, well, let's make it easier. We'll lighten the load in the ship. We started throwing things overboard, right and left, to make the boat kind of sail a little better in a storm. They done everything they could. But I don't care how much you do, if you're out of the will of God, God knows how to make the storm even worse. I'm talking to saved folks. God knows how to make the storm worse. God can get your attention. I don't care what circumstances, God can get your attention. God can make Jonah and his situation look very small if God wants to in your situation. There's nothing too hard for God. The Bible says in this particular passage that in verses 5 when he said it, it was like, oh my goodness, I'll go where God won't be. Oh, God was there. Verses 9 says, and he said unto him, this is the captain of the ship goes and talks to Jonah, and here's what he said. And he said unto him, I am a Hebrew. Okay, I'm religious. I got the Christian badge on me. I'm a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. The captain of the ship is hearing from Jonah, said, what are you doing asleep down here in the bottom of the boat? We got troubles going on. And you know what he says? I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord. When you're talking to a lost man, not every Christian's testimony is a testimony they want to hear. You know why? Some Christian folks are not good examples of the Lord. Not everybody that goes to church is a good example of what God wants. Have you ever failed and come short? Have you ever walked in the opposite direction that God wants you to walk? Have you ever been just so disobedient that you wonder why God loves you? See, God's love goes greater than you. Than you. God doesn't look at my faults and say, well, I can only love him so much. God loves me with an unconditional love. And when Jonah was explaining to the captain of the boat that I'm a Hebrew, I know the Lord. He was trying to show him a little bit of his heart. The captain of the boat was not a Hebrew.
The captain of the boat would be, I'm not even saved. The captain of the boat was trying to figure out how to save them men's lives from this storm. He was not concerned about Jonah and his situation. He wasn't concerned about Jonah's message. He wasn't concerned about the circumstances. In fact, he was just concerned about stopping the storm with that boat. Folks come to church, but they're not always concerned with what's going on in the church. Folks will be that are lost will actually be very reverent when it comes to folks praying. They'll bow their head. They don't have nothing to pray about. They'll bow their head while others are praying. And friend, they don't mind being respectful to the word. They don't mind being respectful to church, but they don't have God within their heart, and they don't understand why God was making it rough on them when it was Jonah's problem. I always repeat this. If you've ever been around me a while, you're going to hear this one. God causes it to rain on the just and on the unjust. Yes, sir. Sometimes the problems that I'm going through, I hate to say this, but you're going through them too because of me. The storm had rubbed off on everybody else that was in the boat. The storm. The storm. Nobody else. They were praying. If you read your Bible, you're right in there, you'll find out that they had been praying to their gods, and it was using a small letter G, which meant they were praying to false god, as we would call it. They were praying into God in their own way, and that was the way to do it. You pray in your own god, and maybe somebody's God's real, and maybe God will change. See, there's only one God. But it took everybody praying to figure out whose God was God. It takes us searching our heart. And Jonah said, I'm a Hebrew. You remember the old stories about the land of Egypt and the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt because of the power of God? That's my folks. You want to hear about me? My Savior's the one that come out of the grave on the third day. That's my God. That's who I serve. My God can walk on water. My God can heal the sick. My God saved my soul. You see, that I can brag on all day long. But it concerns what I do. Sometimes I go the wrong way. Sometimes whenever I should be going right, I'm going left. And to Jonah's situation and to Jonah speaking and his life, he had infected others with his lifestyle and what he had done wrong and how he'd done it wrong. And he did nothing to straighten it out. Look at me. I'm a Hebrew. Look at me. I've messed up. Verse 13 says, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring the boat or bring it to the land. And they could not, for the sea was wroth and the tempest was against. In other words, it was so bad that even the men were rowing the boat harder to try to get the boat to shore. And God made it worse. They knew, all of them knew, something this Christian man had done had made it even worse on them. You know, I really believe the church can be a good. And I really believe Christian people can be good for the community. I believe if you got a Christian president, I believe it's good for the country. But friend of mine, a Christian man can also do the opposite and bring it down. They rowed hard. It didn't change. It could have changed. It could have, but it didn't. Verse 14, they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life. When lost people are crying,
out to God. Don't punish us for what he did. It's almost like they're listening to God. They're seeing the storm and knowing there's no answer but in the God of the storm. They're looking at their situation and saying, why are you punishing us? You remember the example in the Bible about the rich man and Lazarus? The story is real simple. Rich man dies, Lazarus dies. Lazarus, he dies, he's in Abraham's bosom, comforted and all this good stuff. Rich man's in hell, asks for water. Abraham said, I'm not giving you water. Remember in thy lifetime, thou had some good things. You had some good things. Oh, Lazarus had, no, he didn't have any good things. If we associate, if we try to say, well, just because you're lost, it's expected for you to be bad. You see, just as well as all those folks we talked about in prison, well, they deserve to be in prison. They murdered, they stole, they done all kinds of crimes. They deserve to be in prison. They deserve to spend their entire life in prison because of their sin. And boy, we pat ourselves on the back and say, look how good we are and look how bad they are. God's grace doesn't look at us because of our deeds. It's not. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Scripture backs that up. It's not about looking at them and saying, oh, their opinion was, let's figure out Jonah's situation. And because of Jonah's situation, we're suffering. Yes. Well, let's get rid of Jonah. The idea about getting rid of Jonah come from Jonah. The idea of helping the situation come from Jonah. Because Jonah knew that there was nothing going to change with them because of him. And if I could tell you, if you look at my life for perfection, you'll not find it. There's not a person in this room today that lives perfect. I'm talking about saved. I'm talking about preaching 50 years. I'm talking about doing the things of God. And friend, there is no perfection in me at all. God doesn't keep me saved because I'm perfect. God didn't save me to make me perfect. God's grace and mercy moved into my life, and if that hadn't moved into my life, I'd be nothing. And when Jonah realized he was the problem, and they realized he was the problem, Jonah said, well, the best thing for you guys to do is just throw me overboard. And if you throw me overboard, listen, things will change. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Smooth. I'm not much of a boatman. I get on a boat every now and then. Mine's for pleasure, not for fishing. Can't fish. Get on that boat when it's smooth sailing. Hey, even I can drive a boat. But don't put me out there whenever it's stormy, doing all this and that. I won't calm. Soon as they cast Jonah out and he hits that water. You know what? We read in the Bible about Jonah getting swallowed up by that big old fish, a whale, we call it. We change the story and we look to here's Jonah 3 days and three nights in that whale's belly. He done swallowed up. God is laying some judgment upon that Christian man. But let's take
the others for a moment. The others, the captain and the sailors that was on that boat, they went on their journey. Smooth sailing. We never stop to think about it. But Jonah was their only Christian influence in their lives at that point. They knew nobody else that claimed to be a Hebrew, that claimed to fear the Lord. Ain't it bad that you're an example of that? And here they're sailing away on down life, and the only example of somebody loving the Lord is one that is disobedient. But still, the power of God is revealed even when we are not obedient to God. God didn't save me because of looking at you. God saved me for looking at Jesus Christ. He shed His blood for me, not you. He done so much for me. If He hadn't have done much for me, friend of mine, if it hadn't have been all about the Lord and nothing about the church. Hey, the church is what you join up after you get saved. The church is what you get baptized after you get. The church will do you some good, but you better be saved for. You better get saved through Jesus Christ. As they sailed away on the calm sea, they knew God was in charge. And if you know God is in charge, you won't be looking at others. I told a story many years ago, and I tell it occasionally. But there's been people that have come to church under a convicting power of God so strong, but they get their eyes on somebody else because they talk, they're a gossip, they're this, they're that. They come to church when they want, they act like they want, they live in the world, and they think, oh, if that's the way church is, if they're just a bunch of hypocrites down there, they don't need me, I'm looking at them instead of, look, friend, you know what you're doing? You're looking at people that are failures the majority of the time. But if you'll look at Jesus Christ, He'll never fail you. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sat in the seat that you're sitting in right now if you're lost without God. We've all been in that same condemnation where a friend of mine that God removed when He let me pass from death unto life. But if He hadn't removed it, I'd still be under that same condemnation. See, we look at the rough sinner and say, oh, boy, how did they need to get saved? But I got news for you. There are good people that are still sinners that need to be saved. And they're going to die and go to hell without Christ. Whether you're a big sinner or you get along with everybody. One of the most deceiving things that's ever done is to be around church and visit church a lot of times, and folks tend to think that you're saved just because you go to church. That's one of the most deceiving things that could ever be. Why? Because even though you might walk with the Lord as a disciple, there was a Judas that walked with the Lord. And friend of mine, I got news for you. It's not about the smooth sailing that makes life worth living. There's a lot of prosperous people in this world. I'm not talking about millionaires. I'm talking about prosperous people that are in this world that are going to die and go to hell. Because prosperity is not a reason to go to heaven. Sinners in prison
doesn't qualify you to go to heaven. Sinners that are just sinners, they don't do no big wrongs, don't qualify you to go to heaven. The only thing that lets me know that I get to go to heaven is Jesus Christ and Him crucified for my sins. And you know something? You can know Him today. There might be five people that come to the altar at any given time. One of those out of that five might be praying, Lord, save my soul. While the other four could be praying, Lord, look how I failed you. Which is greater? Which is greater? Friend of mine, I'd rather see one that gets saved rather than what? How many times do we read in the Bible about 99 sheep that he had, but one that went astray? Friend of mine, I'm going to fail God, but I don't want to be a stumbling block in front of you. Psalms 1 says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. If I'm standing in your way, that means I'm blocking you. And the only way to remove that is for me to get out of the way so you can find the Lord. The Lord's calling. Will you answer? Jonah got out of the way, and there was a path. Everybody in that boat knew that God was in charge. And God even deals with those that are Hebrews that fear the Lord. And He'll deal with all of us. And He'll deal with you, saved or lost. Brother Gordon, a song. This morning, the privilege of knowing Jesus is to know Him in the free pardon of sin. You hear me? It's knowing Him in the free pardon of sin. Whenever I was lost, I'd heard of Jesus, but I didn't know Him. I'd heard of church and I'd been there, but I didn't know church. The only thing I knew that when the preacher'd preach, somehow or another, at different times, it seemed like God was speaking to me. Sometimes I could go to church and never be bothered. Hey, good time, didn't get bothered. Go in, get out, nothing ever. Man, make it fine. Little did I realize God was speaking to me at times to let me know the difference when He spoke and when He didn't. And when God's not speaking to you, does He love you less? But when God is speaking to you, isn't He trying to tell you that He loves you all the time? But sometimes you're listening. Charlene can say something in the house sometimes, and I have selective hearing. Sometimes I hear it, and sometimes I don't. Sometimes she said, well, I told you. That was one of them times I don't remember it. You ever had God to speak to you and say, oh, I don't remember it? You can't use selective hearing with God. God knows how to get your attention. No matter if you're sitting around a crowd of people, God knows how to speak to your heart. And God will save you if you'll come to Him. But if you choose to reject Him and just sail on in that boat, no matter how calm the water is, if you sail on in that boat, you'll still know that God is in charge. Know Him today. Can we stand? Sing a verse of a song. If God's speaking to you, if you need to pray, you come on. I'll pray with you. If you need to pray, you come.